We have our coffee. Now let's get started. I believe the Lord wants to talk to us this morning about uncommon favor. That's what He desires to pour out on His people. That's what we should walk in on a regular basis as His children. God is not looking to make things difficult for us. He really isn't. He's looking to clear our path. He's looking to be our rear guard. He's looking to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's looking to open the heavens and pour out a blessing that we can't contain. That's what He's looking to do on our behalf. So this uncommon favor has a responsibility on our part and a responsibility on God's part. You hear the phrase a lot, favor isn't fair. And it's not. It's not fair, absolutely, in the worldly sense. Because in the worldly sense, people pick and choose. If I like you, I'm going to be favorable towards you. If you are pleasing to maybe my eye, if you're pleasing to my agenda, if you're pleasing to my plans, if you're pleasing to my self-promotion, you can look at it this way, like the pretty girl on the arm. If you're going to help me out, then I'll give you favor. And that's just not fair. So that's where that comes from. But favor from God is always fair. See, we don't want to look at it that way. And we'll just say favor is not fair because we see someone being favored by the Lord. Because when someone is truly favored by the Lord, there's no doubt. You know God is moving on that person's behalf. That uncommon favor will take us to a place or places in a moment, things we've contended years for, in a moment that in the natural, we could probably fight and strive and work and press a whole lifetime to maybe reach. Uncommon favor says, I'm plucking you from here and I'm placing you here. Uncommon favor brings us victory, and it comes through trust and obedience. God's just looking to overtake us with His blessings in a mighty way. He's just looking to do that on our behalf. Don't miss what God has for you in your right now moment. Don't miss it. Uncommon favor is that thing we couldn't do that God is about to do through us in our obedience to Him. I want to make sure you grasp that. Uncommon favor is that thing we couldn't do on our own. Kind of like what I talked about a few minutes ago. We could strive and work and maybe we would reach it. But how old are we going to be? But uncommon favor, when God looks down and says this one right now, then it's this one right now. And nothing can stop it. The God in us cannot be stopped. And then it's through our obedience to Him that the favor comes forth and destiny is birthed out. See, a lot of times we want uncommon favor. We want the favor of the Lord upon us, but we're not willing to be stretched in that moment of favor. And I promise you this, when uncommon favor shows up at your doorstep, it is going to stretch you. It is going to require trust. It is going to require stepping out even though you're afraid. It's going to require feeling like you're positioned beyond your abilities, but going anyway. With confidence and boldness in the Lord. People think that uncommon favor is an easy thing. It is not an easy thing. It is a stretching. Let's give a few biblical examples of uncommon favor that came with a stretching and a stepping and a trusting first. See, if we'll trust and we'll step, He'll move and uncommon favor will be released on our behalf. We have to yield to and even receive the uncommon favor. We have to let it be birthed out in us through obedience. It's going to take a stepping and a stretching and a trusting. And you know, some of these will be familiar people biblically. Let me make sure I say that. But you know, if you have your Bibles in front of you, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Let me grab my Bible. You know, we talk about Abraham a lot. And I always say this, and I want to just reiterate it this morning. These are not just Sunday school stories that we read. These are real people that went through real experiences, had real struggles. They had to really step out in faith and obedience. Let's really almost, this is what I do. I'll tell you what I do when I read the Bible, when I'm studying the Bible. I try to put myself in their shoes. And I ask myself a lot, how would you respond in this situation? Would you have done the same thing? See, we're reading the story. We already know the end from the beginning. We have that advantage. We have that advantage with Abraham. We know it turns out okay. He doesn't. He doesn't know that when God's speaking to him. But he goes in great obedience anyway. And that's the thing with us. We don't know when God speaks to us how it is going to end. And that's where our struggle lies. We don't know how it's going to turn out when we first step to something that God has spoken to us. And when God is speaking something to us and requiring us to step, he is trying to pour out his uncommon favor. One act of obedience will birth out our destiny. Our destiny is going to require uncommon favor. Now, we can build our own empire if we want. I can go out and get credit cards and debit cards, and I can send out mailers, and I can get an agent and do bookings. But whose empire am I building? Mine or God's? I don't want Linda's empire. That's going to come crumbling down on the day I die. Now, if it's God's empire, I'm just adding to as his tool, as his vessel. Well, praise God. That will stand forever. So in Genesis, at chapter 12, Abraham's being told by the Lord. Let me just bring my Bible over here. Abraham's being told by the Lord, go for yourself, for your own advantage. Kind of interesting. Sometime when God asks us to do something, it's for our own advantage. See, we don't see it that way in the beginning, but it's for our own advantage. We have to, as Proverbs 3 says, we have to lean not, N-O-T. If I was writing this, I would have it in bold, I would have it all capitalized, and I would have it underlined. We are not to lean on our own understanding. That's a hang up right there. So go for yourself, I'm reading from the Amplified, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Here comes the promise. Here comes the uncommon favor. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. That's cool. I didn't even know that was going to be in there. And make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Abram, at the time his name was Abram, had no idea. God says here to him, I will make your name famous. Okay? In the King James Version, it says, I will make thy name great. Most people know who Abraham in the Bible is, even if they don't walk with the Lord daily. They know who Abraham in the Bible, his name is famous. It has been established. God did what he said he was going to do. Now, what's between the lines there, between this word and us now all knowing, you know, Father Abraham and many sons, all of us knowing, a lot is between those lines, a lot of trust, A lot of overcoming of fear. A lot of overcoming of not understanding. A lot of doing, no matter what God said, no matter what sense it made, and just trusting that God has him. That's what Abram did. He goes on to say to him, I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses you. Imagine that. Think about that. We get so worked up about people that curse us. Okay. So let's use it in today's terminology. Disses us, throws shade, stabs us in the back. We don't have to worry about that. God's going to handle that for us. And it's all good. God has our back every time. So, down in verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had directed him. And Lot, his nephew, went with him. Now, I don't know why Lot went with him. I think that brought more struggle for Abram than he needed because he was told to leave his family. And I can't recall if Abram was like a father to Lot or not. I don't want to get into that because I can't quite recall off the top of my head why Lot went with him. I'm just going to another Bible really quick to see. Abram obeyed God by leaving and going in verse 4. And they started off on a better journey, really, to a better country. And really, all of Abram's family was idol worshipers. And so that's why he was called away from them. He was called away from them for a reason, not just to, you know, everything God calls us to do, he has a reasoning for it. He has purpose for it. So anyhow, we won't get into all that this morning with Lot. But Abram obeyed God. He listened to God, not only listened, but he responded in obedience. See, we can hear God and want to do what God says, but are we responding in obedience? And, you know, Abram departed. He didn't confer with 5 other people and wait a year to do what God said to do. It was a right now thing that was going to bring a divine release of favor. So he leaves, and he took Sarah, his wife, of course, and all the possessions that they had, and they went forth to the land of Canaan. And there's so much that ends up transpiring in Abram's life. He learns a lot. He walks out a lot with God before he receives all the favor that God's talking about. And this is the thing. But yet, all along the way, Abram had God's favor. Sometimes we just look at the big picture as uncommon favor. But how about the portion where Abram lies about his wife? That's just over in chapter 13. Let's go there for a moment. Because Abram steps out in obedience, but yet he steps back in fear a few times. He steps back in doubt a few times. And even in those times, see, we don't see this that way, but even in those times, God's favor was with him. Because protection is favor. Having God's protection over our life is uncommon favor. We have to see it that way. We have to see it that way. Understand it that way. That favor protects you. Favor as a shield to us. Things that should happen won't happen based on our choices. Because God's hand of protection, which is uncommon favor, was upon us. And so we have Abram. I keep bouncing back and forth. I'm so used to calling him Abraham, but he's still just Abram here. In chapter 12, when God's telling Abram to leave his country, he is 75 years old. Now, my mother was just here for a visit, and she is 75 years old. I cannot imagine her leaving everything in obedience to God. She would even tell you the same thing. She is set in her way. She will never move from where she is, from her family, from her people. It won't take place. But yet that is exactly what Abram did. And he did it out of faith, out of belief, out of trust, right? We know that it says over in Hebrews, the faith chapter, chapter 11, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And things that God asks us to do, to walk in obedience to God, takes faith. When we won't obey, we're not having faith in God. When we have faith in God, we are certain, we are convinced that God can and will keep his promises. No matter what it looks like, we have to bring ourselves. I wonder how many times Abraham brought himself back to Hebrews 12, back to the place of promise. How many times? Right? Okay, so in 12, we didn't read this verse. In verse 7, I should have gone a little further down, because in verse 7, it says, once he got to Canaan, actually, and that's pretty cool too. I'm just getting revelation as we go along here, so just, you know, flow with me this morning. God first tells him, leave your country, right? We already read that. Your kinfolk, as people say, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I'm not even telling you right now where I'm going to bring you. And I will make you a great nation and bless you and make your name great. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here as we go. And you'll be a blessing, and I'll bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And all the, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so in verse 4, which we already addressed, Abram went and took all his stuff. And then they came to the land of Canaan. So they've already gone. They don't know where they're going, but now they're in Canaan. And the Lord shows up again in Canaan. In verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, he's 75, he has no children. To your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay, this is uncommon favor. And it's interesting that there's not a bunch of questioning here from Abram. He builds the altar, which is worship. He worships God for what he said. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So he's worshiping God. He hasn't received the promises yet. All he has done is stepped out in obedience, responded to God, even to the things that this is not making sense to him. And he's obeying God and worshiping. When they built an altar, then they were worshiping. And this is the thing I love. And it's about so many people in the Bible. Abram wasn't perfect. God did not choose Abram because he was perfect. He chose Abram because he had great faith. He was willing to step and he trusted. But he wasn't perfect. He was still man. He was still human. He had fears. He had doubts. He had concerns. He had a wife. And that's a woman saying that. A wife that got him off track, but he listened to her because he wanted to please her. He showed great trust in God. It's kind of mind-boggling here in some senses, because he shows great trust in God by leaving his country, leaving everything he's known, his people, his security. And you know what? They were doing well. They were doing well where they were. It's not like, oh, I have no better option. I might as well go anyway. He left everything for an unknown. And really what happened, really his biggest downfall or weakness, I guess we'll say that. And it's our biggest weakness too. Every one of us. There were some things that he tried to handle on his own. There were some things that he grabbed into his own hand. And when we do that, we remove the uncommon favor from being released in our lives because we are taking over. And so he moves to Canaan, right? And God's going to bless him in that place. He's built the altar of worship. But then in comes a famine. In comes the difficulty. And that's where we struggle. And it always shows up before the promise. But even in the difficulty, we've got to see that there is uncommon favor even in the difficulty. That's powerful right there. I want to repeat that. Even in the difficulty, there is uncommon favor that we just can't see. So here comes the famine. Here it is. And what does Abraham do in the middle of the famine? Verse 10 of chapter 12. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt. Where does it say that God told him to do that? I'm not seeing that anywhere. He just goes. He obeyed God and the struggle came in. And that's where we get off track a little bit. Because sometimes we obey God and so we expect everything to be easy. We expect everything to be smooth. And then a little bit of trouble comes in and like Abram, we panic. And we try to resolve it on our own. And we just can't do that. We have to stay in the midst of the difficulty and trust God. Obeying God does not mean we will never experience even serious problems. But we will have his uncommon favor in the midst of that problem. So Abram, he heads down to Egypt. He runs. Because he's immediately, he has just obeyed a major command from God, and immediately there's a famine. Immediately he's experiencing disappointment. His wife's not getting pregnant. There's no babies yet. And now there's a famine. Who have I listened to? What have I done? Is my God real? Did I really hear him? Did he really say leave? Did he really say in my offspring? You know he had those doubts, those same doubts we all have, those same mind battles we all have. You know he had to struggle with those things. Remember, he's just like you and me, just like us. He's separated from his family, his support system. He has nobody to lean on. He is alone in the midst of a famine. So he goes down to Egypt with the mindset that he doesn't want his family to starve. Now the thing is, what did God say to do? Did he even consult God? I don't see where there's any record of conversation where God told him to go to Egypt. Now, there's no record of conversation that said he didn't tell him either. But considering the circumstances that took place when he got there, my guess is he did not consult with him at all. So right here in this point, when we're obeying God, and we're trusting him for this uncommon favor he is releasing in this right now. Don't be surprised when even in the midst of uncommon favor, you encounter things that are trying to seemingly block your way. You've heard me say this before. We always have to step back and see the truth of the situation. Have we caused this hardship? If not, obviously Abram didn't cause the famine, so no. And then we have to see, God, how we respond to it. And what are you trying to show me about me in it? Clearly, God had some refining he had to do in Abram's heart before his offspring was poured out to a great measure, till the offspring could even receive the land, till even Abram was ready and Sarah was ready to birth the offspring. The faith had to be built up. And if our faith is never stretched, then it is never built up. If we'll trust and obey, regardless of our circumstances, God will work through every struggle to accomplish his purpose. His purpose will not be denied. Remember, even in the difficulty, there is uncommon favor that we just can't see. We just can't see it. So here we have this situation now. They've gone down to Egypt. Abram's taken things into his own hand. And we know that the story goes that Sarah's very beautiful. She's a very beautiful woman. And that concerns Abram. It concerns him. And this is good. This is where compromise came in. And compromise robs you every time. You cannot compromise on your trust. You cannot compromise in your obedience. And do not let your faith waver. Compromise is a slippery, slippery slope that I don't think any of us want to get on. Once you start sliding down the road of compromise, you do not know the impact or the effect that it could have. We just don't know. So he lies about Sarah because she's so beautiful and he's afraid, right? Now, this is just when he's left his people and all that. He was rich in livestock and in silver and gold. So he wasn't lacking. And he journeyed on. Wait a second. I'm in the wrong place here. Where are we? Sorry. Let's stay in chapter 12. I jumped over to chapter 13 too quickly. So in chapter 12, when he says to his wife in verse 12 of chapter 12, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. So you want to talk, he's in self-protection mode. Really, Abram is being selfish here. That's what's taking place. He's concerned about himself. He wants to protect himself, and he's going to do whatever. He actually threw his wife under the bus to protect himself. And what would we think about a man that did that today? That's terrible. How could he do that? It happens in marriages today. And we think it's terrible. And it is. It happened to Abram too. He's handing her over to Pharaoh. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if Pharaoh's going to sleep with her. But he is not concerned about that. He is concerned about himself. He is not thinking about any of the potential downfall. And even in his selfishness, he has the uncommon favor of God upon his life. That is powerful right there. Maybe you and I wouldn't even be here today without God's uncommon favor that we are completely unaware of. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord, for your uncommon favor that we didn't even know, when we didn't even know you. Or when we knew you, but we were lacking in learning. We still had your uncommon favor. Those things that didn't look like favor were favor. That's powerful right there. So So in verse 13, he says, say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you. Oh my gosh. Can we just hear this? I mean, what does Sarah think? I wish I knew what she was thinking. You know, I'm a wife. I'd be like, really? Really, we're going to do that. You're asking that of me just so you're okay. And that my life may be spared for your sake. And you know how he's putting it on her. He's putting it on her. He's sending her to the castle anyway. Either way, she's going. He just wants his life spared. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. So now, by man, Abram's getting blessed because of his place of compromise. And he gave him sheep and oxen and male donkeys and male servants and female donkeys and camels. I mean, this must have been one beautiful woman. That's for sure. But God would have none of it. He wasn't going to allow that compromise to continue. He was going to put a stop to it. And that's awesome. This is uncommon favor right here. So we're at the end of chapter 12. The Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So she had a little bit of favor too, because God was protecting her. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me?" See, they all recognized it was the judgment of God. "Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife?" I mean, here's a man calling a man out. A man that doesn't even walk with God is calling a man that was walking with God out, saying, "Why would you do such a thing?" Now, what do you suppose the people around us that don't walk with God think of our decisions that we make as we walk with God? What is our testimony to them? He says in verse 19, "Now then, here is your wife, take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Take your wife and go. Get out of here. Pharaoh was not going to mess around with God in this area. Integrity, character, and honesty is important to God. And Abram had to be shown that he lacked a little bit in these areas before the true blessings could be poured out upon him, before his offspring could receive the inheritance of the land, even before his offspring was birthed out. All this had to be plucked out of Abram's heart. I mean, this is really a bad example that is encouragement to us, challenging us to keep trusting in God no matter what it looks like, no matter if it looks like we're going to lose our very life. We can't. God is not going to put us in a place to lose our life. He did not bring Abram out to the land, just like the Israelites used to say all the time when Moses led them out from Egypt. "Did you bring us out here to kill us?" "No. I brought you out here to refine you so I can pour my uncommon favor upon you." But the neat thing is with Abram is we shouldn't beat ourselves up over failures we have had. It should encourage us that God can always bring us back into his will. Even when we failed him, even when we didn't trust him, even when we lacked in that place of obedience. Abram endangered himself. He thought he was protecting himself, but he actually endangered himself at a greater level and his wife. But God remained faithful. God was still pouring out uncommon favor when Abram was not. That's powerful. That's amazing when you think about it. So incredibly amazing to me. He trusted. He learned in that season. That's something right there. This is the thing. We got to learn from our moments. We have to remember in our new day what we remembered yesterday. Not that we dwell in yesterday, but we have to remember, you know what? I compromised last season and it didn't work out for me. If I really want the uncommon favor, not of protection anymore, but of blessings and power and authority and ruling and reigning and destiny, then I have to stop with the compromise. I have to stop with the doubt. I have to stop with the unbelief. I have to stop with the disobedience or the lack of obedience. I have to walk in complete trust, knowing that God keeps his promises, and I will let them bring him to my plate, to my doorstep, however he chooses to do it. We save time by listening to God and obeying him in every way. Right? Just as Abram has promises, we have promises. We have destiny. We have fulfillment. We have to put our trust completely in God that he will keep his promise. He will be with us every step of the way, even in those places that we feel all alone. We're not. He's going to be with us. Right? For here, in Abram's situation, uncommon favor, in a place even of disobedience and lack, increased his assets. How much more when we're in favor? How much more? Favor produces increased assets. That's the truth. Right? What is it? Psalm, turn real quick to Psalm 44. I'm going to do a little bit of jumping around. I just start at verse 1 in Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work you did in their days, in the days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, and it was your power that gave Israel a home by rooting out the heathen peoples. But Israel you spread out. For they got not the land of Canaan in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance did it. Because you were favorable toward and did delight in them. Uncommon favor. Favor produces our the effect of our enemies to even make a way for us when they did not desire to make a way for us. The ones that rejected you, the ones that didn't believe in you, so to speak. Turn over to Genesis chapter 11. No, I'm sorry. Genesis 11, that was right before Exodus 11. And this is jumping over with Moses. And we talked about Moses a little bit just a minute ago. And the thing is, this is the awesome thing about Moses right here in this situation, is he would not compromise. And we're going to have situations where we're walking in obedience. We're doing what God said to do. And God has a way he has for us to do it. He has directions and a plan, and we can't compromise in those plans. We have to stick to the plan. However God said to do it is how we really should make sure we do it. Because Abram, we saw, compromised. And again, I mean, we could stick with Abram too, you know, because we all know the story of Ishmael, and Abram compromised with Ishmael on Sarah's leading. Right? But finally, he came to the place with Isaac that he refused to compromise, his beloved son. But he had grown by this time. He had grown so much, and he knew. That's the growth of Abram, and that's what God wants from us, continued growth. That was the growth with Abram, that now when he was requiring his beloved son, Isaac, Abram didn't even question it, and he obeyed completely, fully, with incredible trust, incredible yielding, beyond my comprehension, truthfully. So we get to Moses here now in Exodus chapter 11. We can go back a little bit, you know, because Moses has been told by God, it's time. I've called you, and I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go, that they may serve me. And if you let him go and you still hold him, the hand of the Lord is going to fall upon everything, your livestock that are out in the field, everything. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And God sets times, and he sets seasons. Actually, I want to back up a little bit. I want to go back to chapter 7, when Moses is called. And he's telling him, I will make you as God to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. And you shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron, your brother, shall tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of this land. Now, Moses was 80 years old at this time. But they obey. Down in verse 10. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw down his rod, and it became a serpent. And the Pharaoh called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also did similar things with their enchantments and secret arts. So don't be fooled, because somebody can imitate the Lord, imitate the move of the Holy Spirit. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents also. See, the enemy has power. We've got to understand that, but we have the authority. His power is not greater than our authority in this season, in any season, actually. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened and stubborn, we know that, and he would not listen to them, which he'd already told Moses and Aaron, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So what's the point of all this then? Will Moses and Aaron completely trust and obey and not compromise? Will they? Do they? The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard and stubborn, and he refuses to let the people go. Go to him in the morning, and he will be going out to the water, and wait for him by the river, and the rod which you was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you, saying, let my people go. So that they may serve me in the wilderness. Because before this, and I'm going to just paraphrase some, you haven't listened. Lack of time, we're getting low on time here. So, and the Lord said, in this you shall know, recognize, and understand that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod in my hand the waters in the Nile River, and they shall turn to blood. And so he tells him to do all this. And Moses and Aaron, down in verse 20 of chapter 7, did as the Lord commanded, lifted up the rod, smote the water, and blood came forth. And the fish died, and the Egyptians couldn't drink it. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their enchantments and secret arts. So Pharaoh basically wasn't impressed, basically. And Pharaoh turned and went into his heart, neither did he take even this to heart. 7 days passed after the Lord had done this, and he said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you refuse, I will smite your entire land with frogs. And we know all that takes place, right? So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the rivers, the streams and the canals and the pools and cause frogs to come up. And they did. But then the magicians did the same thing. Excuse me. And so the Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, glory over me in this. Dictate when I shall pray, to the Lord for you, your servants, and your people, that the frogs may be destroyed from you and your house and remain only in the river. And Pharaoh said, tomorrow, and let it be as you say, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord your God, and the frogs shall depart from you in your houses. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord concerning the frogs. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died, and the people gathered them together in heaps, and they stunk. But when Pharaoh saw the temporary relief, he turned back on his word. So now God's getting mad. And he told him, Moses and Aaron, to strike the dust, that it will come with biting gnats, mosquitoes throughout all Egypt. And they did it, and it did it. And the magicians tried by their enchantments and secret arts to bring forth the same, but could not. And they said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and strong, and he would not listen. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning. Let my people go that they may serve me. And if you do not obey, I will send swarms of blood-sucking gadflies. Gross. And also the ground on which they stand. Okay, it's not going to be pretty. And I will sever and set apart the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms or gadflies shall be there. Praise God. So he does this, and they came heavy and oppressive swarms into the house of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh calls for Moses again. Go, he says, sacrifice to your gods in the land of Egypt. In the land of Egypt, that's not what God said. God said, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. We got to do it how God says to do it. That's where the blessing of uncommon favor is. That's where the windows of heaven open up and pour out a blessing we cannot contain. That's where it is. And Moses said, it's not suitable or right to do that. For the animals the Egyptians hold sacred will not permit to be slain, or those which we are accustomed to sacrifice unto the Lord. We cannot worship God how God wants us to worship him. If we remain in this place, it will be a worship of compromise. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. He's just trying to get him to compromise. Really, it's the enemy working through Pharaoh. Oh my goodness, we cannot leave room for compromise in our obedience to the Lord. It will not lead to the fullness of blessing and destiny. It won't. Don't make room for it. Moses said, I go out from you and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms may depart from Pharaoh and his people tomorrow, only not let Pharaoh just deal deceitfully anymore and not letting the people go. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses spoke. But Pharaoh hardened his heart again and turned from his word and would not let the people go. See, compromise says, I'll do this one thing for you, but it really doesn't end up going that way. It really doesn't. So then the Lord says to Moses, go to Pharaoh, tell him to let the people go. And if he refuses, that all the livestock's going to be in a severe plague. And the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. In other words, a distinction between the livestock of obedience and the livestock of disobedience. And the Lord set a time on it. And the Lord did it the next day. And then, of course, Pharaoh sends to find out what's happening. Then he sends for Moses and Aaron. And the magicians couldn't do the same. And Moses threw the... Okay, so the Lord hardens the heart of Pharaoh, making it strong and obstinate, and he did not listen or take heed. And then the Lord says to Moses, rise up early in the morning and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may serve me, or I will send a plague upon your heart and your servants and your people, that you may recognize and know that there is none like me in all the earth. I could have put my hand forth and struck your people by now, but I haven't. But for this very purpose have I let you live, that I may show you my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. since you are still exalting yourself against my people. Tomorrow about this time, I'll bring the heavy rains and all that. Okay, so we keep going back and forth here. And the hail came and the heavy rains came. And Pharaoh brings him in. And he says to him, I'm jumping over to chapter 10, verse 8. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, go serve the Lord your God, but just who are to go? And Moses said, we will go with our young, our old, our sons and our daughters, our flocks and our herds. And Pharaoh says, let the Lord be with you if I ever let you go with your little ones. He's not going to let him go. He wanted him to leave the kids behind. You that are men can go and serve the Lord, for that is what you want. No, that's not going to work. And Moses wouldn't agree to the compromise. And so it keeps coming. And the locusts show up now. It just gets worse when we don't heed to what God desires. And so then Pharaoh sends for Moses again. And he says, forgive my sin, I pray you only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may remove this plague. And Moses does it. And the Lord turns a violent west wind, which lifted the locust. And the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens that there may be darkness over the land. That happens, and Pharaoh calls Moses. And he says, go serve the Lord and let your little ones also go with you. It is only your flocks and your herds that must not go. Compromise is presented over and over and over again. Have we ever thought in our minds, oh, maybe this is the way. Maybe that is the way. Maybe that is the way. What has God said is the way? Stick to that way. There's been a lot of things that God has asked me to do over the years that have not been easy things to do. And I've stood in them when they're not convenient to me. And my heart has wanted to compromise. And I'm not talking about sin or just an easier way or that whisper in my ear. Why not do it this way? I'm sure this would be fine. I'm sure that would be fine. No, it's not fine if it's not how God said for it to be. Because he says, only your flocks and your herds must not go. But Moses said, you must give into our hands all sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. See, it was still a compromise on their worship. And so Pharaoh won't let it take place. And then this is the thing. God's going to accomplish his purposes no matter what. And now we have the point where the firstborn in the land of Egypt are all going to be taken because of Pharaoh's obstinance and Moses' refusal to compromise to the direction of the Lord. So, of course, we know God gives his direction of protection in obedience. Let me say that one again. God gives his direction of protection in obedience. Praise God. Because he showed Moses how his people would be protected and would not lose their firstborn. Only the people following the disobedience and the compromise. And then, of course, so the firstborn begin to be taken. It all happens, and now Pharaoh's just, everybody's wailing and crying. There was not a house in Egypt of the Egyptians that there was not one dead. And he calls for Moses and Aaron now, and we're in Exodus chapter 12, down in verse 31. Rise up and get out from among my people, both you and the Israelites. Go and serve the Lord as you said. Wow. Now you can take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, just be gone and ask your God to bless me. And so the Egyptians were urgent with the people to depart, that they might send them out in haste, or they would all be dead men. Now this is the thing. Still Pharaoh had another chance because he asks Moses to ask God to bless him. But see, Pharaoh can't stand not being worshipped. That's why he goes after Moses and the Israelites after they leave. The Lord brought them out. Uncommon favor. The Lord brought them out. But it took their obedience and their willingness to not compromise. And the Lord brought them out in freedom, even when the enemy pursued them in the midst of being brought out. God was their rear guard of uncommon favor also. Now, if Pharaoh had not pursued Moses and the Israelites and not panicked afterwards, if he had not panicked and chased him down, maybe God would have blessed him in Egypt for finally releasing Moses and the people. But we don't know that because he panicked. And so I just want to end this morning. God can and does change everything in one moment of supernatural favor. And when he's determined, he's determined. And our acts of obedience will birth out our destiny, place us in position, no matter what's breathing down our neck. And we cannot allow any compromise to come in any capacity. Compromise is a dream killer. We think it's a dream provider, but it's a dream killer. And it will rob us of everything. Don't do it. Don't compromise. It's a subtle, slippery slope till you find yourself at a place in life you didn't want to be. No. Stay in God's obedience. Stay in his faith. Trust him. Walk in his ways and watch him pour out uncommon favor that will bring you to your promised land.